Welcome to the show. On today's podcast, we have Bryce Henson. He is the CEO of Fit Body Bootcamp. With nearly 15 years of experience in the fitness industry, he's committed to inspiring and educating audiences on how to improve their lives by improving their fitness. In today's podcast, we talk about women's fitness and weight loss, the importance of strength training, and the obesity pandemic. This is a great episode, so please enjoy. Welcome to the Kakatibi Podcast, your source for all things health, happiness, and beauty. Hi, Bryce. Thank you so much for being with us here today.
Kat, thank you so much. Super excited to be on the show today.
So before we begin, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you went into the fitness industry?
I'm happy to do so. Well, I originally from the Midwest and, great place, amazing people, but not necessarily the fitness capital of the world. So, you know, going through, I guess, my later childhood and then early college years, Taco Bell fast food, unfortunately, was a staple of my diet. So I was definitely not the epitome of health and fitness by any stretch of the imagination. Although I played sports growing up, but it certainly just wasn't forward facing. And ultimately, when I graduated college, actually the summer before I graduated, I landed an internship in Los Angeles, California, which was really exciting. And then the year after when I graduated, I ended up moving back and as it opened up a job opportunity long term. And that's actually what put me in California. And Kat, for as much as I was excited to be in California, the palm trees, the blue skies, the perfect weather, also Los Angeles is the plastic capital of the world. So I'm 21 years old without any life experience, business experience, 3,000 miles from home, away from my family and friends. And while I was excited to be in California for the obvious reasons, if I'm being very candid with you and your audience, Kat, a lot of those early days were more dark than good. And really, when I reverse engineer and look back, I just didn't have fitness. I didn't have energy, confidence, self-esteem that I do now. And I wasn't obese per se. However, I had 20 pounds of body fat. I had very little muscle on my body. And I just wasn't acclimated to a healthy and fit lifestyle. So a fortuitous situation happened about a year and a half of living in Southern California. A dear friend of mine, actually, from college, moved out to California. And Adam was his name. And he was not on the cover of Men's Health, but he certainly could have been. He had the six-pack abs, the gleaming muscles, the energy, the confidence, the vibes. All the girls loved him. I looked up to that. So after a month or two of living together, I finally mustered up enough courage to say, hey, Adam, would you show me a little bit about this fitness thing? And he said yes, which I'm really pleased and grateful for. But one thing he also said was, Bryce, you saw so many people in college and our buddies asked me how to get fit. How many actually stuck? Like virtually zero. So he said, I'm going to teach you everything that I know for the next 90 days. I'm going to, teach you about lifting weights and, how to eat, et cetera. But I need your commitment for 90 days. You will do everything. And then after those 90 days, you can quit. And I'm so grateful that he did because, as you would imagine, your audience can probably resonate from home, starting a fitness program. At first, it could be exciting, but then the reality sets in. The muscles are sore. The food is uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable working out. But what he did, he introduced me to lifting weights, circuit training, high intensity interval training. He introduced me to nutrition coaching. But most importantly, he introduced me to coaching and accountability because, Kat, I would love to look you in the eye and say I could have done it by myself. I can't say that to be true. So, through that coaching, accountability, and all the support for within a 90-day period, certainly transformed my physique or at least started seeing noticeable results. And I'm a huge fan of Tony Robbins and I buy into his philosophy that progress equals motivation. So about 90 days in, I could see the progress. I became more motivated and probably over a 6-month clip, ended up working out with him for 2 years, but over a 6-month clip, absolutely transformed my physique, ended up losing the 20 pounds of fat, put on 20 pounds of muscle, actually stayed the same weight, but just completely transformed my physique. But as you and your audience knows, fitness is way more than just the aesthetic look. It actually just rapidly changed my life. More energy, confidence, enthusiasm, and even from a financial perspective, became or was one of the lowest sales reps in my company and then escalated within a 12-month clip to the highest performing sales rep in my company, all because of fitness. So a little bit long-winded, but that's basically my story, my origin story, and how I got involved in this beautiful industry.
So I know this is going to be a big question, but in your opinion, it could be a lot of things, but what are some of the reasons that about half of Americans are obese?
Ooh, that is the question of the day. I mean, there's a lot of reasons for that. And we were talking offline a little bit about the pandemic that we're going through, and certainly no disrespect to COVID, certainly a real thing and affected many people. Statistically, though, if you look at it, which I think the conversation needs to change, because nearly half of our population is obese. And actually, I just read a report from a very liberal news source, if you can believe, and nearly 80% of the people of people that were most severely impacted by COVID were obese. And that's whether hospitalization, you know, death, et cetera, which is very sad. But really, the root cause is a lack of health and fitness. And whether that's COVID-19, whether that's whatever another disease that comes, you know, your way, if you're not healthy and fit, if you're obese, your body just has to work harder, your organs have to work harder, and you're more susceptible to disease. So, you know, unpacking the why, well, there's a lot of reasons. I would say first and foremost, human nature, we tend to take the path of least resistance. And let's face it, cheeseburgers and fried food and sugar tastes a lot better, at least initially, than lean proteins, fruits and vegetables. And let's face it, it's a lot easier to sit on your couch and watch Netflix than it is actually to get, you know, on a routine, at least first. You know, it's easier initially, but ultimately becomes way harder. So, you know, I would say foundationally, that's a big reason. And then also too, I mean, certainly there's a lot of education out there. But again, I want to go back and I shame on our politicians, shame on our media for not actually talking about health and fitness. And certainly it's important to showcase what's going on in the state of the world. But in my humble opinion, a lot more focus should have been, instead of just run and hide, about eating well, moving your body, drinking well, you know, hydrating, making sure you get enough sleep, because those simple practices alone will definitely combat obesity and then increase the health and wellness of our society.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you on that. So why is it that women tend to find weight loss more difficult than men?
Well, there's a lot of reasons, and certainly I'm a fitness expert, and vast majority of our clientele, both at my two gyms in Southern California, Fit Body Bootcamp, and also our franchise, you know, our global franchise, are women. And there's some complications. You guys, you know, have it tough. You deliver babies and give birth and have a lot of hormonal changes and have less testosterone than males. And certainly, you know, tend to work hard, really, really hard in terms of your careers, and also to, you know, having to, you know, be, typically speaking, not all the time, and more of a generalization, but, you know, taking lead in terms of raising kids. So you guys have a lot going on, and a lot of times, and I know you can relate to this just from my, and I'm sure your audience can too, just from my thousands of conversations with women tend to, you know, lead from the front, put their families first, and really sometimes, you know, think of themselves last, which is a shame. And certainly we want to change that conversation too. And we've all heard the analogy, or been on an airplane, the analogy of putting your oxygen on mask on. It's so, so important. It's counterintuitive to all the beautiful ladies out there, but really you want to change that conversation. So you put your own oxygen man first, take care of your health, take care of your fitness, empower yourself. That's actually a good thing. And you can actually better help your family, your kids, your community. So, you know, there's a lot of factors at play, but from my humble experience working with female clients over the last decade, I think that's a big focus.
Yeah, I agree. I see a lot of women that get stressed out and put themselves last, and you can't really be much help for yourself or your family or for others until you put yourself first.
Totally, 100%.
So when you start training a new client, what are some unique challenges you might have with a man versus with a woman?
Well, interestingly enough, guys, I'm going to pick on guys, I'm a dude, are a little bit more hard-headed. So I feel like the challenges for guys initially are just to buy into the coaching. You know, guys like to kind of, you know, typically speaking, again, this is a generalization. However, you know, there's trends that separate us. And typically guys have a hard time of typically following a training program, or at least being open to, you know, a coach, a group training model, et cetera, where women typically, to the advantage there, they're typically way more open to coaching. And actually not even, it actually starts at a younger age. I used to coach both boys and females in sports, and same to my uncles and head of family. And typically speaking, it was way more enjoyable to coach women because again, they would be more open-minded to the coaching. They typically work in teams really well. So there's some advantages there. The challenge for women, especially in my experience in, you know, getting them fit and laying out a plan, while they're open to coaching, typically speaking, they're afraid or a little bit more resistant or hesitant to actually lift heavy weights. And, you know, typically they want to gravitate to cardio, which is certainly important. We call that metabolic conditioning type of workouts at Fit Body Bootcamp. But also there's another type of workout, which is our strength training or resistance training. And it's very, very important, especially as not only women, but everyone ages, your body experiences muscle atrophy. So you actually need to focus on building lean muscle. And there's this kind of myth that I think are in a lot of women's heads that by lifting weights, you're going to get big and bulky like the Hulk. And that's just not the case. You're actually going to put lean muscle on. You're actually going to increase your metabolism. So you're going to burn more calories at a steady state. And the biggest benefit, you're going to look toned. So I think that's the biggest challenge for women. But once they overcome that and they get on a fitness program, they start doing both metabolic conditioning or cardio training and then strength and resistance, they typically latch onto the coaching better and can also get, you know, really great results.
When it comes to maybe hormonal imbalances in women, do you recommend that women check before undertaking any fitness routine to see if they have maybe adrenal, thyroid, or other hormonal issues that might prevent them from reaching their goals? Or are you able to work with anyone regardless?
I mean, that's an incredible question. I think to some extent, it can be case by case. If there's something, you know, like a pre-exposed condition, if the client is just not feeling well, if they're like really, really fatigued, then it's probably a good idea to connect with your doctor first, would be my strong recommendation. Typically speaking, we don't get a lot of clients that are in that position who show up at our door and put their hand up so they need help. So for the vast majority of clients, it's good to get on an exercise routine, especially if you don't have anything major that, you know, is an outside or an outside issue, if you will. And if you're just looking to, you know, feel better and, you know, have more energy, which is our common symptoms of not working out, not being healthy and active. So for the vast majority of clients, I would say, hey, put your hand in the air. Let's get you moving. Let's clean up your nutrition. Let's get you working out a few times a week. And then of course, you know, if you're having an extra hard time losing weight or your body's not feeling right, then you can kind of jump in with some doctor's guidance. So that's kind of the high level answer, but it really just depends on the individual client as well.
So what are some things that someone can do immediately to begin working towards a better fitness level?
Incredible question. And I'm going to take a step back. In human nature, and I'm guilty of this as well, we typically work in absolutes. Like it's either all or nothing. So what I find in across the board, if someone doesn't work out that day, then typically they're like, well, screw it. I'm going to eat cheeseburgers and pizza and sugar. But it's counterintuitive. If you do that, you should actually be working out. So typically speaking, it's an all or nothing approach. So really the initial action step is work on your mindset to make it not an all or nothing approach. Starting out by working out 3 times a week. Our sessions are 30 minutes, but even if you only start moving your body 20 minutes a day for 3 times a week, that is a giant win. And as I talked about my own fitness transformation, progress equals motivation. In human nature, we think that even fitness professionals, Kat, like you and I, who are healthy or fit, you know, there's a lot, most of the days, actually, I'm not fired up to get to the gym. Actually, it's about 5 minutes in my workout that I actually like start feeling better. Then I get a little bit more motivation. That progress equals motivation. So just by starting 3 times a week, committing to 20 minutes a week, will just be absolutely game changing. And of course, our program is 30 minute sessions, which really gives twice the workouts, twice the result, half the time, which is a good foundational approach to kind of take that additional step in your journey. So that's a big, you know, call to action. And then really, you know, things like little things like sleep that are big movers in your life, like sleeping 7 to 8 hours a night, holy smokes, and then increasing your water. So literally, if you were to unpack it, don't feel the need. You need to, you know, go from sitting on the sidelines for 10 years, not working out some high school, and then all of a sudden be this super fit person within like 30 days. That typically doesn't happen. It's a progress. It's evolution. So start out by committing to working out 3 times a week, even if it's just 20 minutes, increase your sleep, increase your hydration. Those would just be really 3 little things that will, within 60 days, you'll start feeling better. And then again, going back to the point, you'll become more motivated to continue.
Yes. And I do agree with especially the sleep part. I know if I wake up and I'm a little bloated or I'm puffy or something, if I just go back to sleep for an hour or so more and then wake up again, everything is flattened back to normal. I don't know how people didn't realize this, but I have friends that this is new information to them, that sleep matters.
Sleep matters. And I always get the question because, you know, I'm the CEO of a big brand and, you know, have two other gyms, and I feel very blessed. A lot of people that look for guidance and execution, and people always ask me like, Bryce, how do you do it? You must not sleep. And I'm like, no. Actually, I prioritize my workout, my sleep, and my nutrition, and then fit as it turns out, though, everything else fits in the day very magically well, and I'm able to produce at a high level. But you need to prioritize your sleep. I do that, and it's been, you know, huge game changer for the last decade for me.
So, when it comes to mindset, how can someone shift their thinking so that they can reach their fitness goals?
Whew, you're firing some good stuff today. Just really foundational stuff that really help you and your audience, get a better result in fitness and in life. And I think mindset is just so important, because if you don't have the mindset, at least a growth mindset, an open mindset that you can learn, that you can grow, you can get better, you're going to really have a hard time long-term sustaining results and even actually thinking that you're worth the results that, you know, you're after. So you might actually sabotage yourself and maybe even get a short-term win, but then end up, you know, going back, which is very common, unfortunately. So, you know, there's a lot of ways. I mean, listening to podcasts like you're doing right here, putting, you know, your input, very positive, inspirational type material, reading books. And the biggest thing is hiring a coach. You know, and giving you an example of what we do at Fit Body, in a group training atmosphere, when you go into group training and you're surrounded by an environment, a team of coaches and clients, they're just very positive, just like listening to this podcast or reading a book, your mindset starts to change. And I heard this a while back from actually my business partner and founder of Fit Body Bootcamp, that leadership or mindset is not an on or off switch. It's not like all of a sudden you have a poor mindset today and then tomorrow you have a mindset that you can dominate the world. It just doesn't work that way. It's a dimmer switch. So it's like, if you start putting in positive inputs, okay, you're going to get a little bit better. Your mindset's going to get a little stronger. And then you do that the next day, and then you surround yourself with really positive people over the course of 30, 60, 90 days or 6 months, you'll see really big differences. So it's really your culture, your environment, and the inputs that you put in your mind.
I think you mentioned this before, but I want to go over it again. What are the best types of workouts for women and why? And also I wanted to ask, because a lot of women, they don't like to lift weights. I know you mentioned that, but I also wanted to mention about the bone density issues and how that can help when you lift weights.
So what type of workouts are best? And that's a really loaded question, because everyone has a little bit different goals. But I would say, just generally speaking, at least the clients that come to us, actually, let me rephrase, get any workout that moves your body, that's safe, like that is like step number one. So, you know, again, the obesity pandemic that we're going through as a society, with nearly 50% of our population, you know, is statistically obese. It's really a direct reflection of people not moving enough and also not eating well. And interestingly enough, it's counterintuitive, but when you take you create a cornerstone habit, like working out, like moving your body, you actually will eat better. Studies always show this. The person that's taken one step in terms of investment of movement will tend to drink a little bit more water and eat a little bit more healthier. So there is a domino effect for sure. But really unpacking it, aside from just the general recommendation of any workout's a good workout as long as you're safe, et cetera, you know, our clients, you know, typically are coming to us for fat loss. So if you're looking to burn fat, I mean, certainly you need a cardio component, because, you know, when you elevate your cardiovascular system, that's just going to be good for overall health. You're going to burn, you know, calories. But as we talked about building lean muscle mass, so you cannot be afraid to lift weights as well and really focus on resistance training, because what resistance training does is actually breaks down your muscles and then it builds them back, and not big and bulkier, but really lean. And actually, if you look at a demonstration of 5 pounds of fat and 5 pounds of muscle, there's this common misconception of like, what weighs more, 5 pounds of fat or 5 pounds of muscle? Well, neither. They're the same. They both weigh 5 pounds, but the muscle looks way smaller, more condensed, where the fat just kind of sits there because it's not metabolically active tissue. So you need to have a program that definitely incorporates strength training. What works really well for us is it's very manageable, 30-minute sessions. We have three types of workouts, either a metabolic conditioning or a cardio workout. We have a strength workout or resistance workout, as we call them. or a classic workout, which is a blend of both. And really in all of our workouts, you know, you have a blend of cardio and a blend of strength training. It's just the cardio workouts just a little bit more focused on cardio. The strength training is a little bit more focused on the strength, and the classic workout is actually even blend of both. But realistically speaking, you need both. And really from a weight loss perspective, it's a very, very effective training modality. That in mind, if you're looking to like actually build, you know, a large amount of muscle, then I would say like Olympic weightlifting or something along those lines. That's why I say, you know, it really depends on the client goal. But on average, what most women want to do is burn fat, is want to lose weight, look tone, and really a good circuit training program like we have at Fit Body or just, you know, elsewhere that incorporates cardio and strength training is your best bet.
So I have a question from one of our subscribers. What are some ways someone new to working out can keep from getting bored when they go to the gym and wanting to leave?
I've been there and done that. And sometimes I still get there, actually, truth be told. And that's why I hire a coach. And really coaching is the it's such an incredible thing, because typically speaking, most of most people in the world are not, you know, in the fitness industry, are not by their keyboards during work, like crafting their workouts, like creating a program for the week. That's just not the case. You have white, or you have a spouse, you have school, you have work, you have, you know, the kids, you have a lot of things going on. So, you know, it can be challenging. And that's why like hiring a coach, joining a group training program where you have someone be able to provide and structure your workouts, that's their focus, that can provide variety. And actually long-term, not only from a mental stimulation, but from your body stimulation, it creates what's called muscle confusion, which means if you just do the same routine over and over and over again, mentally you'll get bored because there's lack of stimulation, and actually your body will gain resistance to that same modality, and it'll stop burning calories and building lean muscle in the same capacity. So by changing and creating more variety, that's the call to action, both from a mental perspective so you don't get bored, but also from a physical perspective. So the biggest thing kind of unpacking that is hiring a coach, joining a group training protocol or program, so that way you have a professional there to guide you and change it up for you.
Yes. And I will say I've tried several times to start training on my own, and I do have that same memory of walking in and you're just like, oh, what do I do? Or someone's looking at me and you get all self-conscious and in your head, and then you're just like, ah, it's enough, I'm going.
Yeah.
And yeah. And then hiring the trainer was what finally did it. And then finally I was able to get more comfortable, especially with the machines. They can be a little, you know, intimidating, especially for women that they're not usually drawn to those.
Totally. And it's just, it's human nature. And the reality of the situation is no one's actually looking at you, really focused on you when you're coming to the gym for the first time, but it feels that way. It felt that way for me. Kat, it feels that way for you. And I know if you're listening to this, it probably feels the same way for you as well. Cause if you're uncomfortable, if you don't have experience or just not, you know, accustomed to that, you know, training yourself, it can be overwhelming. But if you do, like I said, hire a one-on-one coach, even better, you're going to get, you know, more focus there. Just the price tag is obviously a consideration, but very, very true point.
What are your thoughts on incorporating fasting or intermittent fasting when trying to reach your fitness goals? Do you think that's good? And also before you work out, do you recommend working out fasted or having eaten?
Ooh, incredible questions. I love this. What I would say, again, it just depends on the client's goal. It's not a one size fits all approach. For me, and what I typically recommend is if it's in the early morning, to work out fasted. However, if you're working out later in the morning or in the afternoon, like you obviously need, you know, substance. So that's typically what's worked really well for me and what I recommend for my clients as well. In terms of fasting, so I actually execute what's called intermittent fasting protocol. I go in and out. I don't do it. It's basically a 2-day fast. I typically do that one time a month. I don't do it religiously for the course of the year, although during the pandemic and then until 2021, I did a 48 hour fast once a month. And then the beginning of this year in 2022, I was like, you know, I'm going to change it up a little bit, create some variety. But there's so many benefits aside from just weight loss, but, you know, increased immune system, sleep better. I mean, there's just a variety of actually very strong health benefits that, you know, creating a properly executed supportive fast will really be helpful. But it's not for everyone either. So, but my biggest recommendation, aside from the physical components and the benefits of a fast, it's also a very strong mental challenge. So for me, I looked at it both physically and mentally, because if I can knock through a 48-hour fast, not only is my body going to get leaner, it's going to get better, it's going to, you know, more healthy, my immune system's going to get better. It's also a sense of accomplishment from a mental perspective. And I just stacked another win. I created more confidence. So there's a lot of value there, but the client has to really embrace it, have a full understanding of what they're getting into. Because if you don't really do your research, or you're not probably coached through it, and all of a sudden you do your first fast, we'll say, you know, on day one, and it's like hour 18, you're like, oh my God, I'm going to die. That's, if you're not well prepared for it, that could be a challenge. So it all really depends on what your goals are, what your expectations are. But it can be a very, very incredible tool that I utilize. And certainly I do that. I recommend that for my clients as well.
Yes, I love intermittent fasting. I tried to do it in the morning and I could go until 2 p.m. without eating, no hunger, no problems. But I found that when I switched it to nighttime fasting, like I would stop eating like at 6 or 7 p.m., yeah, that's when I saw the most benefits with sleep, with weight loss, with everything.
So just walk me through that. And again, I'm really glad you bring this up, because there's a famous actor, a former athlete, Terry Crews, who does something similar. He's been featured in Men's Health and all that he actually fasts every day, but ultimately he fasts for 16 hours a day. He only eats 8 hours a day. I haven't used that protocol, but again, there's a few different ways to skin a cat. To your perspective, Kat, you said you typically or used to do morning fasts. But if I got this correctly, then you would extend your fast from the night before be your last meal all the way to 6 p.m. and then you'd eat dinner. Did I hear that correctly?
No, I would eat like, let's say 9 to 6 p.m. only.
Okay.
And then after that, no food at all.
Oh, got it. So you would eat in the 8 hour window from 9 to 6. And then basically after 6 all the way through the night before 8, you're fasting.
Yes.
Oh, cool. And you said that worked well for you.
Yes, because when I did it in the morning fasting, I didn't see any difference in my weight or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I did have more energy to complete work, but then at night I would get cravings and hungry and do bad stuff. So got when it. I switched it, because at night is when I'm the most weak. So if I just don't eat at night and eat everything before and there's no food around, then I don't get the cravings and all that stuff. And that's when I saw the most benefit.
Ooh, I love that. I'm the most weak as well at night as well. And typically human nature, that's the case, especially because if you have a good night of sleep, going back to the sleep topic, you wake up, you feel rested, you feel good, and your motivation, your willpower is very high. But then life takes its toll, work, kids, the boss, like just you get ambushed on a day-to-day basis. And by the evening, then you feel a little bit more vulnerable. So, you know, myself included, sometimes can make some questionable decisions in terms of nutrition. So I'm picking up what you're laying down. I think that's an incredible strategy. So highly recommend to your audience to at least take a look at the same thing.
Yes. And then for snacks, if I'm really bad, I'll just have like a herbal tea with nothing in it. Just like tea and hot water. And then I have something to do with my hands while I'm watching TV instead of snacking.
Oh, cool. I would imagine the tea has a little bit of caffeine in it.
No, like chamomile or something like that.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I fast, and what I, you know, recommend for clients that really need the caffeine is they can drink coffee, but non-acidic coffee, because acid has some sort of issues and complications. So that could just be a point of consideration, but I was curious more than anything from the way you execute your protocol.
I haven't had coffee in years. I just have a little bit of green tea in the morning.
Oh, talk to me on that. Is it anything like an adversarial effect with caffeine, or you just don't like it?
Well, I've read some studies that said that caffeine and coffee itself, just being, can be detrimental for women, especially if you have estrogen dominance, which yeah. I have. So why bother trying that? I mean, if there's even a chance it could be detrimental, why do it? And I had to wean myself off of it, which is horrible. But just a little bit of green tea was enough that I was able to transition.
Oh, that's awesome. And really good feedback. I mean, there's a lot of studies. And again, it just really depends on this individual person and, you know, man or woman. But, you know, I would say from my perspective, there's value in a little bit of balance in life. I mean, in moderation. But I would say most people overshoot that mark. So if you're going to be conservative, you might as well undershoot it versus overshoot it. So I like that particular philosophy. And I'm glad to hear it's worked out.
So this is just one of the questions from the group. So how long should someone who's trying a new fitness program go without getting results before they switch it up? And I'm saying this because they have reported like getting excited, trying something new and gone 3-4 months, their weight stays the same, their measurements stay the same, and then they lose enthusiasm and want to quit. So what would you do in that case?
Totally. Well, I it's interesting that you put out that time frame. I would say for sure give any program a solid 90 days. In our program at Fit Body Bootcamp, we have not only a trial to bring people in, but really we're actually changing that to starting off with a 12-week program. And the reason that is 12 weeks is just long enough where you're not going to all of a sudden see like, you know, incredible results, but you're going to start seeing enough results where, okay, you can understand the program's working. You get more motivated to do more. So, you know, in our recommendation and from a scientific perspective, a solid 13 or 12 to 13 weeks, which is just about a, you know, 90 day clip, is really the time needed, the very minimum, to give any particular fitness program, you know, chance. At that point, if you've literally went through a 12-week program, like 90 days, we'll call it, and you're not seeing any movement, like, you know, you're not feeling better, which would be surprising, but that certainly could happen. You're not feeling better. You're not seeing no inches move, et cetera. Then I definitely think you need to take a deeper look. And my typical recommendation would be hire a fitness professional, because at the end of the day, it's interesting, for whatever reason, human nature, Kat, if I was like, hey, listen, you know, I have a toothache. Like what should I do? Kat, you're probably not going to say like, Bryce, I would just basically pull out the pliers and start going to town. You're going to say, Bryce, probably a good idea to go, you know, make a doctor's or dentist appointment, right? So the dentist, basically, this is their zone of genius. This is what they do. They can provide you a lot more value and support. And the same thing with fitness, even though it's a bit counterintuitive, for whatever reason, we don't think that way. But again, going back to our earlier dialogue, vast majority of people are not moving enough. They're not, you know, they're not fitness professionals. They're not like fired up to start creating their training programs on a week to week or month basis. They're just trying to basically live their lives and they need some help on the side. So if that's the case, then I would definitely not be afraid to reach out to a fitness professional like yourself, a coach, a one-on-one trainer, or a group training program, because again, from that perspective, you can get, you know, a great result and even make it a little bit more affordable. But that would be my recommendation.
So we've heard a lot about something called the fat whoosh theory. Is that something that's real is that something that trainers just say to keep you motivated when you're not getting results in the beginning?
Let's see here. Actually, I'm not so familiar on the fat whoosh theory. So, can you enlighten me?
Yes. That's when they say that, when you're first losing weight, your body replaces the fat cells with water until it finally gets accustomed to like, there's no more, they don't need to hold on to it anymore. And then it just releases all the fluid. And that's when you see that you've lost weight.
There's like a little bit delay in the weight loss, like yes. That. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a lot of factors at play. The human body, I mean, you know, both men and women alike can certainly get frustrated with it because there's a lot of moving parts. But if you actually take a step back and realize like, you know, look at it in awe, like, holy smokes, like your body is doing so many things subconsciously just to keep you alive. So it's a very complex, you know, piece of machinery. And there's a lot of moving parts. There's hormones. I mean, there's times of the month. I mean, there's just a lot of factors at play. So, you know, while I don't have specifically, you know, insights, I don't have a very well-prepared question for that. What I would say is, it's important to track, if you're really serious about like a weight loss result or et cetera, you should track your workouts and you should also track your food. And I know you and your audience do not want to hear that, but let's face it. Like, you know, if you're a bookkeeper and are running a business, you need to track the financials of your business. If you're, you know, driving down your street and you have a car with gasoline in it, your car tracks the amount of gasoline in the tank, because that's very important for you to be able to make better decisions on when to refuel. And that's really the same for your body. So tracking is really, really important, but also giving yourself some space, because everybody's a little bit different. And some bodies, again, it could be stress, it could be, you know, sleep, it could be nutrition, it could be, there's quite a few factors at play. So give yourself some space, give yourself some grace. You know, hire a coach, hire a professional, and track what you're doing and give it a little bit of time as well. But again, I would say a 90-day window is a really good amount of time where, you know, depending on what your goal is, you're not going to all of a sudden like night and day results. However, you should see enough results where that's going to inspire you to continue.
In your opinion, what is the best nutrition strategy? And I know like there's many different diets out there and everybody is like a proponent of like keto or paleo or whatever. So what are your opinions on that?
That's an incredible question, Kat. And really it's the nutrition protocol that's going to work for you. And I know that's maybe not the answer that you want to hear, but it's the truth. Because there's a lot of different, you know, diets. Like you're in Miami, the South Beach diet, the keto diet, the intermittent fasting. There's a lot of different ways you can skin a cat and eat well. But at the end of the day, it's what's going to be best for you and really actually what's long-term sustainable for you. So I'm not a huge proponent on like the fads that, you know, are just very extreme because typically anything in extremity is not really long-term sustainable. And the worst thing you can do is actually just continue yo-yo, get really excited, do this crazy drastic diet for 6 weeks and then basically binge on that. So something that you can sustain for the long-term. And then, you know, again, just some general principles. Most people are chronically dehydrated. Most women eat more because they get that sensation when they're actually thirsty. So drinking water, sleeping, okay, it's going to make you feel more full. Studies always show that eating more protein in your diet will increase the feeling of being full. Okay. Eating lean proteins, fruits, and vegetables, like whole meals as much as possible, that's a good go-to. And then staying away from processed foods and sugars as much as possible. So those are just some general guidelines. But the truth is there's a lot of studies and science that really support any of those diets that you just put out. It's just a matter of, so do they work? Sure. And they work for some people better than others. Finding a protocol that's going to work for you is really, you know, the best. But I would say those common guidelines. And then going back to the point, it's not the most, it's very unpopular advice. But if you really are serious about, you know, increasing your health, increasing, you know, the nutrition quality and changing your body composition, because nutrition is the biggest component in that, you need to track whatever you're putting in your mouth.
Mm. So I want to tell you a little bit about what I do and you tell me your thoughts.
Please.
So I did an elimination diet a while back. I went like steak, lean steak, sea salt and lamb. That's it for about 2-3 months. And then after that, I would add one item of food and see how my body reacted. And because I had been off of everything for so long, I could immediately tell this makes me bloated. This gives me stomach cramps. This gives me a little headache or something like that. And then I was able to eliminate a bunch of food that just, I didn't feel well when I ate.
So your question to me is, what's my thought in terms of that particular protocol? So I don't have a ton of experience with the elimination coaching someone on the elimination type diet, although I know a lot of doctors that specialize in allergies do that because of that. I think in general, though, there's a lot of validity and a lot of positive attributes to that, because it's really taking the scientific method, you know, and really what's a scientist, you know, trying to do. They're trying to remove all the external factors and then test one thing. And if everything else is a constant, you test one thing, you're going to get good data and feedback and output from that particular, you know, entry point or input, whatever you did. And that's just going to give you more precision and understanding in nutrition, in fitness, and actually even from a business perspective, because overseeing the brand, whenever we do a marketing campaign or advertising campaign, we just try to change one little factor, because it might be this piece of copy or this image that actually resonates with, you know, a client, Mrs. Jones is what we call our dream client, that might resonate with Mrs. Jones better. So taking that back to nutrition, I think is really a scientific approach. And I think there's a lot of validity in that, even though I don't have a lot of experience, you know, in terms of prescribing that type of protocol.
Yes, I say that because there's a lot of people that if a diet works for somebody else, they're like, well, I'll try that. And then they get disappointed when it doesn't work for them the same way. And I think it's because we're all so different. Sometimes people might be sensitive to things that you would think would be crazy. Like for me, I am sensitive to cucumbers. They make me really bloated.
Wow.
That's weird. Or squash, like a bunch of weird things that if my husband has it, he's totally fine.
Totally. And that's, and that goes back to the principle of like, you know, blanket recommendations are very hard because everyone is a little bit different. But again, I love the philosophy. I love the mindset behind it. And I think you get a lot more pertinent, valuable data.
So tell me again, some of the value in hiring a coach and what types of results you can expect as someone working with a coach versus on their own.
I mean, this is the game changer. This is night and day for sure. Just think about like sports teams. Can you imagine a sports team like Tom Brady as an example without Bill Belichick, like his coach who winning all those Super Bowls? Like, no. I mean, you look at like, you know, Tiger Woods, who, you know, for a long time was the best golfer in the world. Guess what? Tiger Woods has a coach as well. So when you have a coach, you know, specifically to your fitness, you are going to get better recommendations. You also, let's face it, Kat, like we are emotional beings, okay? So we're very emotionally invested in ourselves, okay? So when you have a coach that really wants, has a relationship investment, but is definitely not emotionally invested as you are in yourself for obvious reasons, they can provide more objective guidance and feedback. Typically speaking, a coach also does this. This is their full-time focus. Like Kat, you and I mean, we're talking about fitness. We're researching fitness. This is our focus, where most clients, fitness is not their focus, which is totally understandable. And that gives us the opportunity to be in this awesome industry. So you're going to gain a lot more knowledge in working with a coach. You're going to gain a lot more accountability for whatever reason. Again, this is a study of human nature, and specifically for women. Women are okay with disappointing themselves, okay, putting themselves as the backseat. Bless your heart, so grateful for all the beautiful ladies out there. But when you actually are going to disappoint, you know, your spouse or your kids or someone else, that's a different story. And that's actually, I think, why women are such great at putting others first. But when you have a coach, you actually, you know, if you disappoint yourself, that's one thing. But then if you disappoint your coach, if you miss a workout or if you, you know, miss a check-in, that level of like accountability, that like natural, you know, inclination that we feel as humans, especially in women, is really challenging to go through, which means you get a better result because you're more bought into the program. So there's just so many positive attributes of working for a coach. And the biggest analogy I'd like to use is, you know, again, going to the dentist example, most people understand that if they have a toothache and they need a root canal, they're not going to do that themselves. It really should be the same, you know, not only for that, but for your taxes, you know, for other aspects of your life. Hire a coach. It's going to make all the difference and you're going to get a way better result for it.
I also had another thought about that. When you hire a coach, it's also very beneficial because, you know, there's that theory that you're always like the average wealth or the average weight or the average healthiness of the five people you hang out with the most. And just hiring someone that's very fit and healthy to help you also adds them into those five people.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And I mean, you say this out loud, or I think of this out loud. It's so true. Like taking a step back, I mean, most of my friends are really fit. Not because I'm vain and I only hang out with people that like I'm checking the box or they fit. Okay, they can be my friend or not. It's just typically like I have more in common with someone who like takes care of themselves, like has more energy, vibrance. I like want to be around those people, and fitness gives you that. So it's an incredible analogy of you're the sum of your big, you know, the five people that you hang with the most. So I definitely see that value as well.
So what are some maybe high risk exercises that athletes, bodybuilders, weightlifters might do that are not really necessary when it comes to weight loss?
I mean, anything that you have a lot of load on, so like deadlifts or overhead squats. I mean, you know, there's certainly value in those movements, and I do deadlifts and I do overhead squats, et cetera. But anytime you increase the load or weight, your form has to be better. Typically, you just need to be a little bit more focused on, you know, control to make sure that you don't, you know, subject yourself to injury. So it's not to say that that's not important. Okay, like think of it. Like for driving down the road, like that's a more dangerous situation than just staying in your office. You're actually putting yourself in danger. However, you know, you want to get in your car, you want to put a seatbelt on, you want to make sure that your car is put together, and that limits the, you know, amount of risk. And that's the same thing with, you know, lifting weights. So weights are super important, again, for the reasons that we talked about, building lean muscle, you know, increasing metabolism, making you look, tone and feel better. So there's a lot of value there. But when you are putting more load on your body, and again, I just reference those two movements, you know, there is more risk there. And again, that's why, you know, hiring a coach and getting some guidance is really, really important. But some things to consider. The additional thing is circuit training is very, very valuable. That's what we do, you know, here at Fit Body Bootcamp. And that's like the nature of the program that we provide. But specifically, if there's a station or two that you know, has an increased load or weights, we typically, like from a coaching perspective, we have two types of coaches. We have the mic coach and then the floor coach. The mic coach is basically like bringing the energy, like really getting the group fired up. And then the floor coach is on the floor, basically correcting form. So a lot of times into that point, we'll have the floor coach stationed at the one or two stations that have a high risk or a high load just to make sure form correction is there. So those are a couple of movements to look out for. But the biggest thing is just making sure when you are increasing your load, take your time, get some guidance, and make sure that your form is best on point and you can still have a win-win situation.
Yeah, it's very important because I remember when I was trying to do it by myself, not knowing anything about fitness, I could injure myself because I'm trying to show off or something stupid.
Well, I'm curious, Kat, from your perspective, I'm sure your audience knows this from story, but, you know, obviously following you and, you know, seeing your website and connecting with you, you're a super fit lady. Did you go through a period that you were not fit and kind of what did that look like?
Oh, yeah. after I had my daughter, that's when everything kind of spiraled out of control.
Got it. And that's very common, right?
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, I was able to get it back by basically starting this podcast so I can speak to experts, asking their opinions, and then trial and error until I figured out what worked.
Oh, I love that.
So could you go over a little bit about the Fit Body formula and how it's unique from other boot camps? Because we hear about boot camps everywhere. So how do we know this is different?
Yeah, I mean, I hit on a few of the components, but we have three types of modalities. We have strength training, metabolic conditioning training, and classic training, and we do an even blend of those and typically work out in our workout. So those are our three modalities. 30 minutes is our secret sauce, and you know, there's one of two reactions. They're like, oh my God, 30 minutes, I can do that. Is one type of woman who basically replies. The other is like, only 30 minutes? Am I going to get a workout? And I say, come on in. you know, you're moving the whole time. So it's actually not about the length of time. It's about the focus, the intensity, and the functionality that you put in your workout. But the biggest part of the Fit Body way is, yes, the workouts are incredible. They're led by certified personal trainers, expert coaches. We have a modality and they're all planned and progressed. So that way a client who comes in can actually increase their load with time or modify if they're not at that point. And we do our workouts on a timing sequence so we can train a variety of fitness levels at the same period of time. But that all said, probably the thing that separates us is our nutrition coaching program. We call Bootcamp Plus. And nutrition, you know, again, most of our clientele are women who are coming to us because they just had a baby or they haven't worked out in 10 years and they've gained 40, 50 pounds and they want to focus on weight loss. So most of weight loss or body composition change actually happens with what you put in your mouth and nutrition. So our Bootcamp Plus nutrition coaching program is really, really the biggest way combined with the fitness program that we see incredible results and why we're so successful.
So that reminded me of something. When I started working out, I always used to really hate when they would tell me to take a rest between sets. Is that really vital?
It depends on what your goals are. I would say if you're cranking through like a high energy circuit and your cardio's on point, like fire away, like continue to move. But if you're working more of a strength workout, you are going to need to kind of slow it down because you want to exert the most force you possibly can to build the best lean muscle. Actually, what you're doing is you're tearing down the muscle fibers, but your muscle fibers need oxygen to basically like rebuild. So again, it really depends on the workout. I'm with you. I'm a high energy guy, so I like my workouts intense and fast. But as I recommend to our clients and also as well, to that point, if you're doing a high strength day, a high load day, you do need to take the proper time and sets, not only from a recovery perspective, but actually just to make sure that your body is able to give the most output, which then when you recover is actually when your body actually recovers and actually builds those muscle fibers. So it's very important.
Okay, so that makes sense. And rest days are important between, you know, working out too?
So it just depends. And the way, I mean, generally speaking, you can overtrain. Most clients don't, like in general. Most clients can actually work out a little bit harder than they think they can or even they should. But you do get, you know, the client who hasn't worked out in forever and all of a sudden like, just the inspiration bug hits her, and then she wants to work out like 7 days a week, double sessions, and you want to avoid that as well. But that all said, I would say the most common, probably, I guess, error that we see is clients want to do back-to-back sessions. And for some clients with a specific goal, they certainly can. And if you're trying to like increase your endurance, and we don't have a running program, but we've actually had many clients actually run marathons because their body was in shape, but they didn't have enough endurance. But because of the metabolic conditioning that we do at FitBody, they were able to do that. So in that particular situation, it might make sense for you to do a session back-to-back. But generally speaking, one session, 30 minutes, like full force, is going to definitely be enough. And if you do that, you can train upwards of 6 times a week, although we typically recommend we start clients at 3 to 4 times a week, and then we can progress, you know, up depending on the results. But at the very minimum, I guess the other answer or the other side of the equation is you really need to be moving your body with intensity at least 3 times a week to lead a healthy and fit lifestyle. Anything lower than that is certainly beneficial. I'd much rather you know your audience work out one time than none, but really 3 is the baseline minimum, and then really 4 to 5 is a sweet spot depending on goal.
Okay. So what are afterburn workouts and how do they work for weight loss?
Yeah. So, and that's really the modality that we talk about, the afterburn effect, which is really going back. It's the blend of metabolic conditioning and then strength training. Because again, most women, not all, it's a generality, most women do not lift enough weight. They do not focus enough strength on strength training. And that's a shame because even at a high intensity interval training cardio session, you know, studies show like after 2 hours, like your body, your metabolism goes back to what it was at the steady state. However, if you lift weights and you blend strength training within your workout, that's when you can hit EPOC. And the scientific name escapes me, but really we call that, to dumb it down, the afterburn effect. And your body will increase its metabolic, I guess, production and burn calories at a higher rate, even far after your workout, even when you're sleeping, upwards of 48 hours after. And that's really important. And that's why I really drive so much force on strength training as well. And I don't want to give the indication that we're only strength training. We're just doing deadlifts and squats the whole time. That's not the case, but it's an even blend. It's enough where our clients can hit that afterburn effect.
And if somebody wanted to have like a bad meal, let's say it's their birthday, should they do it after one of those days, after a workout?
Typically speaking, your metabolism is at a higher rate, you know, when you work out. So if you're going to pick like when to have a bad meal, it probably going to be directly after, because again, you know, for the reasons discussed, like the afterburn effect, your body is going to be, you know, burning calories at a higher state. And let's face it, like you need to live and you need to make sure that, you know, whatever nutrition protocol you're on is sustainable. So there's nothing wrong with a cheat meal. I love my sugar, just like anyone else does. And that's, you know, recommendation, but moderation is the spice of life, and always, especially for sugar, accompany it with water, because sugar, you know, studies show can be more highly addictive than many types of drugs. Mm-hmm.
So where can everyone go to learn more about you and FitBody Bootcamp?
Awesome. So our website, our global website is fitbodybootcamp.com. That's fitbodybootcamp.com. So that's the best way, especially, you know, depending on where you're part in North America. We have hundreds of studios. About 90% of our locations are in the States. 10 are in Canada. But regardless, fitbodybootcamp.com would be the best way to basically see if there's a location near you. And if so, jump on our trial program would be the best way. And then specifically for me, my social media handles are Real Bryce Henson, not to be confused with Fake Bryce Henson, but that's where you can find me in all social media channels. So that would be the two spots.
Awesome. So is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience before we have to go?
Well, Kat, I just want to thank you. You've been an incredible host. I've really enjoyed this podcast, and we're on the same mission. And, you know, going back to, you know, what I said earlier, but when we kicked off the show, is one, I just have a high level of gratitude for fitness and for health and what you're doing, you know, on the show, because our society needs more of that. I strongly, strongly, strongly believe we need to change the conversation, what's going on. Instead of focus on sickness and fear, et cetera, we should be focusing on health, about working out, about eating well, about sleeping better, about increasing your hydration. If we do that, when the next COVID hits, because let's face it, if you look at human history, we're not alone. Like, this is not an isolated situation. There'll be something else that comes. But if we are more equipped as a society and better fit, we're going to definitely be in a lot better place. So that's my big call to action. That's my big burning passion. And really my mission, my personal mission and the mission of organization is to inspire fitness and change lives every day. And I want to thank you and your audience for giving me the opportunity and the platform today to spread that message.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. And I will put all that information in the show notes for everyone to go check out.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Kat. Appreciate you.
Thank you. I had an episode a while back with Dr. Mona Fahoum of Feminescence, and we spoke about Feminescence, Maca Harmony, and their Maca products. And if you're a woman who's ever had hormonal imbalances, if you're trying to come off the birth control pill, or even if you're going through menopause, this is a natural way to help ease that transition and to help balance your hormones. There's nothing quite like it, so go to feminescence.com, enter code KAT15, KAT15, for 15% off any of their single pack products, and definitely go check out the episode. Just search for Mona Fahoum on my podcast and listen. You won't regret it. Thank you for listening to the episode. If you made it this far, I'm sure you found some benefit to the hard work that I put into the show. Show your support by subscribing to the podcast. Leave me a voicemail question or email me at thehealthfulgypsy@gmail.com. I would love, love, love to hear from you. Be sure to join the Facebook group. You can find all that information in the show notes and my website, katkatibi.com. This podcast is for informational merrymakings and metaphysical purposes only. Statements and views are not medical advice. This podcast, including KatKatibi, disclaim any adverse effects by the use of information you may have heard. Opinions of guests are totally their own. This podcast does not endorse statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications, credibilities, or sanity. Individuals may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to on the podcast. If you think you have a medical problem, consult with a licensed medical physician, not just the spirit of your ancestors while on ayahuasca.